بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير. فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، كل نفس ذائقة الموت. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, and the esteemed listeners, we were discussing a very pertinent aspect with regards to the final days in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we concluded in the last segment regarding the visit of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the sacred and the blessed cemetery of Baqi'ul Gharqad in the company of Abu Muwayhiba radiyallahu anhu, in which Nabi alayhi salam had informed Abu Muwayhiba that Allah had given him a choice between the treasures of this world and between meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opted for the latter. إِلَهِ نَجِّنِي مِن كُلِّ ضِيقٍ فَأَنْتَ إِلَهُنَا مَوْلَى الْجَمِيعِ وَهَبْ لِي فِي الْمَدِينَةِ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَرِزْقًا ثُمَّ دَفْنًا فِي الْبَقِيعِ إِلَهِ نَجِّنِي مِن كُلِّ ضِيقٍ. O my Lord, grant me deliverance from all difficulties and all anxieties. فَأَنْتَ إِلَهُنَا مَوْلَى الْجَمِيعِ. You are my guardian and you are the sustainer of all. هَبْ لِي فِي الْمَدِينَةِ مُسْتَقَرًّا. Grant me a place and an abode in Medina. ثُمَّ دَفْنًا فِي الْبَقِيعِ. And ultimately make me amongst the fortunate people who can rest beneath the soil of Medina and stand up to be deserving and worthy of the intercession of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We move on to the next hadith in this regard. ومن حديث عقبة بن عامر الجهني رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى على قتلى أحد بعد 8 سنين كالمودع للأحياء والأموات. So Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu said, amongst the practices we observed in the final hours, days, moments of the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed a fresh prayer of janazah salah on the deceased who were martyred in the campaign of Uhud. So this is now 8 years had passed since the campaign of Uhud and since their passing on, etc. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam renewed a prayer and he offered a janazah salah on them after 8 years. The notion was kal muwaddi' lil ahya wal amwat, almost bidding farewell to both the living and the deceased. So we know that Uhud is very sacred to Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Hada jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu. This is a mountain that is fond of us and we are fond of it. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had often give the analogy of Uhud in the hadith as well. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu ascends a tree to pluck something, and then fanadara ashabuhu ila humushati saqay. The sahaba observe the thin nature of his shin, that it was thin, it was slim, and he was petite in his physique. So they had a bit of a chuckle. You know, sometimes you see a person's appearance, but you probably don't know certain aspects of him. And when you get exposed, you could be either surprised, perplexed, or alarmed. So they found it to be very thin, weak, and lean. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ما تضحكون, what makes you smile or laugh or chuckle? لَرِجْلُ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودِ أَثْقَلْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحُدِ. That on the day of Qiyamah, the leg of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud will carry more weight than Mount Uhud. Mount Uhud. So there are many other hadith as well regarding Mount Uhud. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam then came and he performed salah, janazah salah, the funeral prayer, once again over the martyrs of Uhud, and giving off a notion, signaling a farewell, muwaddi' lil ahya wal amwat, to those that were living and those that had moved on. Thumma tala' al mimbar, then he ascended the pulpit. Faqal sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, inni bayna aydikum farat, I am a predecessor for you. I am a predecessor. When a child passes away, and may Allah grant strength to all those who have lost their children before the age of puberty and beyond as well, But just referring to the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahumma ja'alhu lana farata wa ja'alhu lana ajran wa dhukhra. Oh Allah, make him one who goes ahead and paves the way. A predecessor, farat, who goes and takes care of all the affairs. So very much if you're traveling in a caravan, the one who would go ahead, find a location, pitch a tent, find the water, etc., etc. I am your farat, I am your predecessor. Wa ana alaykum shaheed, and I am a witness to you. Wa inna maw'idakum al-hawd, and the meeting point for us to meet on the day of Qiyamah will be at my pond. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate and blessed individuals whose thirst would be quenched from the blessed water and the sacred hands of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa inni la anzuru ilayhi, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after ascending the pulpit, he spoke about the pond and he said, I can actually see the pond standing on this mimbar, standing on this pulpit of mine. I can actually see that pond. And we know that it is established. Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. Although ya kawthar in al-bahrul muheet, the opinion is given that there's 26 different opinions of kawthar. One of it means the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, kawthar generally translated as khayrun kathir, good in abundance. Wa ana fi maqami hadha, I can see this pond while I am standing here. Wa inni lastu akhsha alaykum an tushriku. And this is something for us to take heed to. Nabi alayhi salam is on his way out, right? You can imagine the emotions of a dying father. You can imagine the emotions of someone who's on the way to bid farewell. Am kuntum shuhada'a idh hadara ya'qub al-maut idh qala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. Allah sketches the image at the time of the demise of Ya'qub alayhi salam, when he summoned his children and he said, who will you worship post my demise? And they comforted his heart and they said, na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha aba'ika Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq ilaha wahida. Surely we will worship Allah, who is your Lord, our Lord, and the Lord of your pious and noble predecessors. When Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah was in his fatal illness, Maslama ibn Abdul Malik said, innaka fatamta afwaha awladika an hadha al-mal. You know, you've been a great ruler, but you've denied your children wealth. And he said, ajlisuni, set me up. And then he said, my kids are of two types, imma salih wa imma talih. The one that's obedient and the one that's a delinquent. Those that are obedient, Allah has said, wa huwa yatawalla salihin, that they are in the care of Allah. And those that are disobedient, I wouldn't want to leave behind wealth to support the cause of someone who's going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said to his children, I haven't left anything physical and tangible, but I've lived the life. I've lived the life. And this is meaningful. This is hard-hitting. I've lived the life. إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَمُرُّوا بِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَوْ أَهْلِ ذِمَّتِهِمْ إِلَّا رَأَوْا أَنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَقًّا. That if you pass by a Muslim or a non-Muslim, everyone will greet you, salute you, respect you, and revere you because of the legacy of your late father. And what did Ibn Shihab Zuhri say? He said, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab told me, Ma mata man taraka mithlak. Ma mata man taraka mithlak. The father who leaves behind children like you, and the teacher who leaves behind students like you, has not died, has not passed away. He lives on. He lives on. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ أُولَٰئِكَ قَوْمٌ إِنْ بَنَوْا أَحْسَنُوا الْبِنَى. Right? مَا مَاتَ مَنْ تَرَكَ مِثْلَكَ. If you leave behind children like this, you continue to live. And of course, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind a galaxy of Sahaba. Study all movements, all revolutions. No one in the annals of history could turn a nation who previously could not be shepherds to a flock in a short span of 23 years with minimum battles and minimum loss of lives, and mobilize them, revolutionize them to a point that they did not only become guided, but they became inspirations for humanity till Qiyamah. Study all the movements and all the revolutionaries that came on this earth and everyone else that came and made a powerful impact on this earth in whichever time period and era. It's an insult to even begin to compare them to the legacy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, lastu akhsha alaykum an tushriku. I'm not afraid that you would ascribe partners and associate partners with Allah. إن الشيطان قد أيس أن يعبده المصلون في جزيرة العرب. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the devil knows that idolatry will not return here to Arabia. But ولكن في التحريش بينهم, he has changed his strategy and he's decided to create dissension and division in misleading you. So the devil changes things. You know, previously it was an idol. You take that same thing and you modify it and magnify it and you give it a different form, shape or size. Today it's a car, it's an object, it's a device, it's something else. But effectively, just as that idol took them away from Allah, this is also making you heedless and oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am not afraid that you would associate partners with Allah. وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ الدُّنْيَا. I am afraid that you will compete with one another. You would make tanafus. You would vie and compete with each other. That this is my fear. And tragically, we are the victims of this fear of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this prophecy of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنَّنِي أَخْشَى أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمْ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. That the riches of this world will be unleashed upon you. It would be opened up. The wealth, the embellishments of this world will be opened up. When some of the companions were sent out in an expedition by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, it's a long narration, Ibn Asakir makes mention of it. And Hassan Basri says, Ataytu majlisan fi Jami' al-Basra. I came in a gathering that was of Sahaba in the Jamia Masjid of Basra, and amongst them was Ahnaf ibn Qais. And fa'idha fihim Ahnaf ibn Qais يتذاكرون زهد أبي بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما وما فتح الله عليهما من الإسلام. And they were having this rich gathering and discussion about the victory of Islam and the futuhat and the prosperity that Allah gave. In a long story, he said that we went in an expedition, we were victorious, we returned. And amongst the things we brought were some very beautiful delicacies from Iraq. And we had clad and attired ourselves with the spoils of the war that we had received. And we then came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنَّا بِوَجْهِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَا يُكَلِّمُنَا. Umar radiallahu anhu gave us a cold shoulder and he turned away. So that became quite difficult for us to bear, because we went in a campaign, we were victorious, we came back to report to you. فَأَتَيْنَا إِبْنَهُ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. We came to Abdullah ibn Umar, فَشَكَوْنَا مَا نَزَلَ بِنَا مِنَ الْجَفَى مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we bounced it off him that Sayyidina Umar, your dad, gave us a cold shoulder. And subhanallah, you know what? The son followed onto the foots of his father. In one narration it comes, مَا نَاقَةٌ أَضَلَّتْ فَصِيلَهَا بِأَطْلَبْ مِنْ أَثَرِهِ مِنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرْ لِعُمَرْ. A camel that has lost its little one in the desert does not look for the footprints of its baby more than how Abdullah ibn Umar mimicked the footsteps of his father Umar ibn Khattab. مَا نَاقَةٌ أَضَلَّتْ فَصِيلَهَا بِأَطْلَبْ. Right? It doesn't search more diligently or passionately than how Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu followed onto the teachings of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he said, إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَآ عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا لَمْ يَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَلْبَسُهُ. The reason is that Umar ibn Khattab seen you wearing things that the Prophet of Allah and Abu Bakr didn't wear. We came home, we changed, we came back, Umar embraced us, etc., etc., radiallahu anhu. فَقَدَّمْنَا إِلَيْهِ الْغَنَائِمِ. We presented the booty and the spoils. And then we gave him these delicacies. And we said, this is something, you must taste this. This is amazing. This is really finger-licking. This is decadent. This is tasty. It's sumptuous. فَذَاقَهُ عُمَر. Umar radiallahu anhu tasted it. And he found it to be very sweet and very tasty. And he said, keep this away from me. Keep this away from me. So they said, why, O Umar ibn Khattab? He said, لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَى هَذَا الطَّعَامُ. I foresee a time, Ibn Asakir's narration, I foresee a time where a son would actually plot the killing of his biological father to lay his hands on these privileges. And a brother will slay his sibling to secure and procure this type of wealth and affluence. Go and give it to the sons of the martyrs who strove with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but keep me free of it. May Allah make it easy for us. You know, this is the sad reality. وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ الدُّنْيَا. I'm afraid that you will vie and it will consume you. فقال عقبة عقبة, who is the narrator of the hadith, says, فكان آخر نظرة نظرتها إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That was the last glimpse, that was the last sight, that was the last time I seen he صلى الله عليه وسلم. After that, I did not get a chance. Now it was just rapidly downhill, and before I realized, he صلى الله عليه وسلم had moved on, and the sun of Nabuwat had set. استئذانه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يمرض في بيت عائشة. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking consent from his noble spouses to be nursed in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Let's again introspect here, respected listeners. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was divinely exempted from maintaining fairness between his spouses and his consorts, and this was a divine privilege conferred upon him, and Allah given right to him. تُرْجِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ مِنْهُنَّ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. تُرْجِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ تُؤَخِّرُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can stall any spouse and you can draw any spouse close. وَمَنِ ابْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ. And if you seek the partnership and the companionship of any of your spouses whom you had put on hold momentarily, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ. There's no harm on you, there's no sin on you. You shouldn't feel bad or guilty about it. If you had excused yourself from a particular spouse, radiallahu anha, for a period of time, and then you felt the need to approach her, this is perfectly fine. And amazing, while we're on the topic, Allah says, exempting you from maintaining fairness between your spouses, this was in your interest as much as it was in the interest of your spouses. Right? We all can see this is a benefit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was a privilege for him, and this was ease and concession for him that he had the multiple spouses. All the azwaj were getting exposure to his private and intimate life. Each one of them were relaying this to their immediate family and beyond. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intimate and private and family life was now being captured by multiple spouses and filtered through different tribes, and of course recorded, documented and preserved till the end of time. But Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَن تَقَرَّ أَعْيُنُهُنَّ. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَن تَقَرَّ أَعْيُنُهُنَّ. This is closer for their eyes to be comforted. وَلَا يَحْزَنَّ وَيَرْضَيْنَ. And so that they do not grieve and they are pleased on what you give them. And the scholars give the beautiful explanation. How does this fit into a source of comfort for the spouses radiallahu anhunna? Is that often in life, when we raise expectations, we predispose ourselves to disappointment. What they say in the English language, people don't disappoint us. Our hopes in them disappoint us. Our expectations in them. So they don't, it's like you're getting married and you're disappointed. Why? No, I really thought she's like this and I thought he's like this. But then who told you to think? House job? No, it's okay. Hey, I thought they'll give me a bonus. You didn't even work 6 months. I thought I'll get leave. I thought I'll get this. That's the thing. We raise our expectations. So we pre-expose ourselves to disappointment. So Allah told the Azwaj that the Prophet ﷺ has been exempted. So now you not anticipate him. Whenever he comes, you're happy. You acknowledge him. You're grateful. You're appreciative. You're reciprocating. Because you know it's not his due to come on any time. It's his favor. Of course, this was exclusive to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But yes, this is the point I want to impress to myself and to one and all. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given a divine right by Allah. He did not abuse it. That's unimaginable. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever abused. The word abuse and exploitation doesn't feature in the blessed life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was nothing like abuse in his entire life. He did not even use the faculty or the facility. He did not even use the concession. Abuse it is out. He didn't use it. And if there was a time where he could exercise it, given the circumstances, was his terminal illness, was his fatal illness. Because now the health did not support him to move around from one spouse radiallahu anha to another. So all he had to do was like refer to verse this in the 22nd juz of the Quran in Surah Ahzab, and I'm camped here at Aisha radiallahu anha, and please excuse me, my health doesn't allow me. No, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested consent. Aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan, أين أنا غدا. So tomorrow is whose chance? Tomorrow is so and so. Tomorrow is whose chance? It's so and so, radiallahu anhu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would repeat the question and they would answer and he would repeat, and that would release a hint that he's asking permission to be based in one place. Because he was very, very modest. He, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was very modest. So he's sensitive to the other spouses as well. He has a sense of attachment to Aisha radiallahu anha, and he wants to base himself at Aisha radiallahu anha. And of course, this was an honor and a privilege that Allah had conferred upon her, and nobody could snatch this honor and privilege. Amongst the many honors and privileges that Allah had exclusively endowed upon Aisha radiallahu anha was the fact that ya mubghidhi la ta'ti qabr muhammadi فالبيت بيتي والمكان مكاني إني خسست على نساء محمدي بصفات بر تحتهن معاني وسبقتهن إلى الفضائل كلها فالسبق سبقي والعنان عناني مرض النبي ومات بين ترائبي مرض النبي ومات بين ترائبي فاليوم يومي والزمان زماني زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره الله زوجني به وحباني وأتاه جبريل الأمين بصورتي فأحبني المختار حين رآني إلى آخره. I'm not going to go into the detail. Suffice to say, she says the day Allah decided and decreed and ordained for the demise of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was my night, it was my house, it was my lap, and it was between my chin and my chest. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Let's just briefly go through this hadith and then we would wrap up today's discussion. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها لما ثقل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم واشتد به وجعه. When the pain intensified and increased and it now became very agonizing, استأذن أزواجه في أن يمرض في بيتي. He صلى الله عليه وسلم asked consent from his spouses. Understand, my respected listeners, I marvel, you're not well, you're going through an illness, you're on the verge of leaving, yet at that moment as well, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think of this, I was reading a narration, he needs to leave in the cover of night from Makkah Mukarrama and go to Medina. This is challenging circumstances. This is not easy. It's not you relax, you phone in everyone. In the cover of night, suddenly the command has come. Abu Bakr is saying, As-suhba ya Rasulullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, let's move. You have to flee because the intelligence of the kuffar want to intercept you and they've offered 100 camels for the assassination of Nabi Alayhi Salam. But even in that moment, he's not oblivious of the amanat and the trust that are in his possession. He arranges for this. Ali, this goes to this person, those goes to that person. And he appoints Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sometimes you caught up and something happens and you consume and you leave. How many of us would in that moment of emotions have the mind and the capacity, the balance and the composure to, you know what, report absent at work or to drop a message or even a text message in today's time? But you're so caught up by the circumstances and the sequence of events and that unfolded so rapidly that momentarily you lose or forget your duty, responsibility and obligation. But yes, it was he sallallahu alayhi wasallam that followed up on each detail, appointed Sayyidina Ali and said each one must be discharged. Subhanallah, he seeks consent. You remember in Badr when his eldest daughter Zainab radiallahu anha had sent ransom, and that was a necklace which was given to her by Khadija radiallahu anha in lieu of the release of her husband Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, who was the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen this, he teared, he became emotional, it was nostalgic, and then he wanted to return this necklace. It was perfectly within his prerogative and right to do so. He asked the Sahaba, would you be fine if I return this? Would you be fine? My word. I'm paraphrasing the narration. Just to wrap up, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam then takes permission and each one of them consent. فَخَرَجَ وَهُوَ بَيْنَ رَجُلَيْنِ تَخُطُّ رِجْلَاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَيْنَ عَبَّاسٍ وَرَجُلٍ آخَرٍ. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam is supported by two Sahaba. His blessed feet are dragging and dangling on the ground. And he then entered into my house. Aisha radiallahu anha says, ishtadda waj'uhu, ishtadda waj'uhu. You talk about a dignitary and a president, and he's in a private clinic, and he's in the, you know, state clinic, and there's a state visit, and it's been televised. There's no words to describe the emotion behind these last moments. This is the greatest human, the most catastrophic moment in the annals of history. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, enters into the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. I ask those who harbor antagonism and enmity and animosity against my beloved, sacred, revered mother Aisha radiallahu anha, how do you reconcile? How do you reconcile that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords her with this privilege that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departs from this world in the blessed and the sacred lap of Aisha radiallahu anha? What more do you need in the honor of Aisha radiallahu anha, apart from the fact that the Quran is replete and brimming with her praises? قال أهرقوا علي من سبع قرب لم تحلل أوكيتهن لعلي أعهد إلى الناس. He said, pour upon me water from seven containers or seven canteens, the seal of which has not been broken. So seven containers, the seal of which has not been broken. Take water from there and pour water over me. Perhaps I might come out and make an address to people, and I would like to, you know, communicate and address them. فَأَجْلَسْنَاهُ فِي مِخْضَبٍ لِحَفْصَ. Aisha radiallahu anha said, we managed to support the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and get him into a makeshift bathtub. A makeshift bathtub, that's what's mentioned here in the Hashia as well. And we managed to put the Nabi of Allah in there. We got water from seven containers, and then we poured the water over he sallallahu alayhi wasallam. ثُمَّ اتَّفِقْنَا نَسُبُّ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْقِرَبِ. And then we started gently pouring the water over Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. حَتَّى تَفِقَ يُشِيرُ إِلَيْنَا بِيَدِهِ أَنْ قَدْ فَعَلْتُنَّ. He said, that's sufficient, that's fine, that's done. Okay, he signaled, he gestured with his hand, that's fine. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ إِلَى النَّاسِ فَصَلَّى بِهِمْ. He then came out and he led the congregation. وَخَطَبَهُمْ. And then he delivered a khutbah. قَالَتْ عَائِشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا مَا رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْوَجْعُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I never seen someone experience more severe and intense pangs of death than Aisha radiallahu anha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to study the detailed life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us in those final moments of ours when we bid farewell to our near and dear ones. Ila rabbika yawma idhinil masaq, as we journey to meet our Lord. Wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.